Ken Forkish was living the Silicon Valley dream. Stable job, good income, conventional success. Yet, something was missing. In 1995, while wearing suits and chasing sales quotas, a Smithsonian article about French baker Lionel Poulain landed in his hands and changed everything. Poulain's retro-innovation approach, using human hands, time, and fire to create naturally leavened country breads in wood-fired ovens, ignited something in Forkish that couldn't be extinguished. This revelation led him to abandon a 20-year corporate career to pursue the ancient craft of artisan bread making, eventually opening Ken's Artisan Bakery in Portland in 2001 and Ken's Artisan Pizza in 2006. His journey from tech executive to master baker has made him a culinary icon, with his Portland establishments becoming must-visit destinations for food enthusiasts. Celebrities like Jacques Pepin have praised his creations, particularly his extraordinary croissants, and his methods have influenced a generation of home bakers seeking to recreate the magic of artisanal bread in their own kitchens. The difference between mediocre bread and extraordinary bread comes down to understanding and controlling 8 critical elements. The most important ingredient isn't something you can purchase, it's time. Great bread requires patience, allowing complex biochemical processes to develop flavors impossible to achieve through shortcuts. This transformation is similar to how wine develops complexity through aging. You simply cannot rush the natural processes that create depth of flavor. Time and temperature work together like dance partners. They have an inverse relationship, with warmer dough developing quickly and cooler dough slowly. The ideal dough temperature falls between 75°F and 80°F, creating the perfect environment for yeast metabolism. At these temperatures, yeast operates most efficiently, but not so quickly that flavors can't develop. As yeast consumes sugars, it produces carbon dioxide and ethanol, causing the dough to rise while developing complex flavors. Temperature variations as small as 5 degrees can significantly impact fermentation rates. A 70°F dough might take twice as long to develop as an 80°F dough. This relationship follows a fundamental principle: less yeast and more time yields better bread. Commercial bakers often use excessive yeast for speed, but this sacrifices flavor. By reducing yeast quantities dramatically, sometimes to just 1/8 teaspoon per pound of flour, and extending fermentation time, you allow a remarkable transformation to occur. The yeast multiplies about a gazillion times, creating an ecosystem where beneficial bacteria produce lactic and acetic acids, along with other compounds that contribute to the bread's complex character. This slow fermentation also allows enzymes to break down starches into simpler sugars, creating natural sweetness. Finding the fermentation's sweet spot is crucial. Too little time results in bland bread, while excessive fermentation creates overpowering alcohol and acidity that masks the wheat's natural sweetness. Professional bakers learn to recognize the perfect moment through subtle signs. The dough should have a sweet, complex aroma with slight acidity and should feel pillowy and alive. This balance isn't something you can rush. It's a natural process that demands respect and patience. Pre-ferments like Poulish and Biga enhance flavor development by giving a portion of the flour extra fermentation time. When properly matured over 4 to 12 hours, these pre-ferments become bubbly, fragrant mixtures that transform ordinary dough into something extraordinary. A matured Biga will be slightly domed on top, with a sweet-sour aroma reminiscent of yogurt, while a Poulish will have visible bubbles popping at its surface and smell like ripe fruit, visual and olfactory indicators that the magic is happening. Different pre-ferments contribute distinct characteristics. Poulish creates an open, honeycombed crumb structure, while Biga adds more complex flavors and better keeping qualities. The autolyse method, mixing flour and water first, then resting 15 to 30 minutes before adding salt, yeast, or pre-ferments, activates crucial enzymes in the flour. Amylase breaks down complex carbohydrates into simple sugars for the yeast to feed on, while protease degrades gluten proteins to increase dough extensibility. you can actually feel the difference between autolyzed and non-autolyzed dough. The former has a smoother, more developed structure that will ultimately create better bread. This simple step reduces kneading time by up to 40% and results in dough that's easier to shape and bread with better texture and flavor. Perhaps the most counterintuitive aspect of Forkish's approach is his preference for extremely wet doughs, around 75-80% hydration. Most home bakers instinctively shy away from sticky, wet dough, treating it as a mistake to be corrected with more flour. However, these higher hydration doughs produce significantly more gas during fermentation, creating superior flavor complexity and a lighter texture with those coveted large irregular holes that characterize authentic artisan bread. The additional moisture also allows for better starch gelatinization during baking, resulting in a more tender crumb and crispier crust. The challenge becomes developing enough strength in these slack doughs so they hold their shape. Rather than using additives like ascorbic acid or vital wheat gluten, Forkish applies strategic folding to build structure. Through this process, an initially batter-like 80% hydration dough transforms with just a few folds over 30 minutes into a proper bread dough, albeit still sticky enough to require wet hands for handling. This transformation demonstrates how proper technique can overcome what many consider impossible hydration levels. Folding strengthens wet doughs by organizing their gluten network in multiple dimensions. The process involves stretching segments of dough to the point of resistance, never tearing, and folding them back over the mass, similar to creating layers in laminated pastry. This creates a three-dimensional fabric that gives the dough tensile strength and helps retain fermentation gases. While commercial bakeries often develop gluten through intensive machine mixing, Forkish prefers less intensive mixing supplemented with strategic folding during bulk fermentation, which preserves more of the wheat's natural flavor compounds and results in better texture. Most folds should be applied early in fermentation, with the first fold about 10 minutes after mixing when the dough is still relatively cool and manageable. Each recipe specifies a recommended range of folds, typically 3 to 4, but you should observe your dough's physical changes and adjust accordingly. Signs of proper development include the dough becoming smoother, more elastic, and holding its shape better after each fold. The goal is to create enough strength for the dough to hold its shape while still maintaining the benefits of high hydration. Handling these wet doughs require a gentle touch and specific techniques. Contrary to the common belief that dough needs vigorous kneading, Forkish advocates gentle handling throughout the entire process. This preserves gluten structure and retains gas bubbles that contribute to both flavor and texture. When folding, extend sections only until you feel resistance, typically about 4 to 6 inches. When removing dough from the tub, flour the edges and gently ease it out using a dough scraper to support the mass. Never punch down dough before dividing and shaping. Preserve the gas with all its flavor compounds. Working with wet hands rather than floured ones prevents sticking while maintaining the dough's proper hydration level. Bulk fermentation, the period after mixing when the entire dough ferments as one mass, represents the heart of flavor development. Many recipes in Forkish's approach call for dough to expand beyond the traditional doubled in size to often tripled in size. The exact expansion depends on the dough's wetter doughs create more gas and expand more than stiff ones. For instance, a ciabatta dough at 80% hydration might triple in size, while a basic sandwich bread at 65% hydration typically doubles. Maximum flavor development requires allowing enough time for all desired biochemical reactions to complete. During this period, enzymes break down starches into sugars, proteins are modified, and organic acids develop, creating layers of complexity. Every recipe has its own ideal timeline, and rushing the bulk fermentation means sacrificing flavor. A sourdough might require 4 to 6 hours at room temperature, while a yeasted dough could need 2 to 3 hours, depending on conditions. After shaping loaves, the final rise, proofing, can take anywhere from 1 to 16 hours, depending on dough type and temperature. You can slow this process by refrigerating shaped loaves, which helps develop complex flavors while managing your baking schedule. Cold fermentation at 38 to 42 F, 3 to 5 C, allows enzymatic activity to continue while slowing yeast reproduction, resulting in more nuanced flavors. Chilling shaped loaves overnight allows you to bake first thing in the morning without warming them to room temperature first. The finger dent test helps determine perfect proofing. The indentation should spring back very slowly. When pressed gently, properly proofed dough should hold the impression while slowly beginning to recover. Leaven breads have a longer optimal proofing window than commercial yeast doughs, which may have only a 10-15 minute window of perfection. A sourdough loaf might maintain optimal proof for 30-45 minutes, making leaven breads more forgiving for home bakers. The final transformation occurs in the oven, where baking bread to a dark brown rather than blonde stage creates a thin, crisp crust with caramelized complexity that permeates into the crumb through the Maillard reaction. Optimal baking temperatures typically range from 450 to 500 F, 232 to 260 C. The ideal bake achieves maximum oven spring, perfect crust texture, and complete interior baking. Dutch ovens allow bread to create its own steam chamber. Most recipes call for 30 minutes with the lid on, then 20 minutes with it off. The trapped steam helps achieve the characteristic crackling crust of artisan bread. When bread doesn't turn out perfectly, experienced bakers analyze multiple factors. Dough temperature at mixing, ideally 75 to 78 F, 24 to 26 C, bulk fermentation time, folding technique, room temperature, pre-ferment condition, dough strength and hydration, measurement accuracy, especially for salt and yeast, proofing completeness, baking parameters, and even flour variations. Professional bakers often keep detailed logs of these variables, noting protein content of flour, ranging from 11 to 14%, exact hydration percentages, and room temperature throughout fermentation. Understanding these variables helps identify what went wrong and how to adjust for better results next time. Common issues like dense crumb, weak oven spring, or irregular holes can usually be traced back to specific variables in the process. The focus of Forkish's approach is making great bread and pizza from just four ingredients: flour, water, salt, and yeast. With so few components, quality is paramount. Flour comes from grinding wheat kernels, berries, which have three components separated in modern milling: endosperm, 84%, starch and protein; bran, 13%, outer protective layer with minerals and fiber; and germ, 3%, genetic material with fat and flavor. Whole wheat flour contains all three components, while white flour is just the endosperm. Traditional stone milling produced flour containing endosperm plus germ with varying amounts of bran, creating the characteristic country bread flavor that can be approximated by blending white flour with small amounts of whole wheat. Before the 19th century, wheat was manually threshed and stone milled, producing whole grain meal, sometimes sifted to remove bran. The resulting flour contained endosperm plus germ, creating the pain d'autrefois, bread made the old way, celebrated by bread historians. Wheat flour excels at bread making due to proteins that form gluten. When water meets flour, the enzyme amylase breaks down complex sugars into simple ones that feed yeast. The yeast produce gases that are trapped by the gluten network, allowing bread to rise. Gluten forms when water combines with glutenin and gliadin proteins, creating interlocking strands that stretch during mixing and folding, increasing their ability to capture fermentation gases. For salt, Forkish recommends sea salt or mine salt, avoiding iodized salt, which inhibits fermentation. Fine sea salt dissolves quickly and is recommended, though kosher salt works but dissolves more slowly. For consistency, weigh salt rather than measure by volume. Salt slows fermentation. The standard amount in French bread is 2% of flour weight, with an acceptable range between 1.8 and 2.2%. All recipes call for instant dried yeast, specifically SAF red instant yeast. When stored airtight in the refrigerator, it keeps for 6 months. For most recipes, there's no need to dissolve the yeast first, simply sprinkle it on the dough and incorporate while mixing. Commercial yeast, Saccharomyces cerevisiae, is a monoculture that produces faster rises and lighter textures than wild yeast Levens. Natural yeast exists everywhere, in air, soil, vegetation, and especially on carbohydrate-rich surfaces like fruit skins and grains. While commercial baker's yeast is a monoculture, Levain cultures support multiple wild yeast strains, creating complex flavors and extended shelf life. The word Levain derives from Latin lavare, to rise, and Forkish uses this term rather than sourdough to avoid associations with overly sour bread. A Levain culture consists of billions of rapidly reproducing yeast organisms that can be manipulated to create specific flavor profiles. The character of naturally leavened bread depends on variables like water content, temperature, flour type, feeding schedule, and ripeness, all expressions of the baker's craft and signature. Baking with Levain is similar to winemaking. Both manipulate fermentation to achieve desired flavors. The complexity in Levain bread comes from wild yeasts, bacteria, fermentation gases, and acids developing over time. Less yeast and more time applies here, as lengthening fermentation through cooler temperatures or using smaller amounts of Levain greatly improves flavor. Acids create the sourness in sourdough. Acetic acid provides vinegary taste, while lactic acid contributes milky or buttery notes. Stiffer Levains and cooler temperatures favor acetic character, while liquid Levains and warmer temperatures encourage lactic acid production with fermented fruit flavors. A new Levain evolves visibly over several days. Starting as simple flour and water, within 48 hours and 2 feedings, it becomes gassy, quadruples in volume, develops bubbles and a web-like gluten structure, and acquires a fragrant, sometimes pungent, alcoholic acidic aroma. The whole wheat flour Forkish recommends creates a distinctive, funky, leathery ethanol smell in mature cultures. Many believe specific sourdough cultures are special because of their geographic origin or age. However, it's not where a Levain comes from, but how it's maintained that determines its character. While minor yeast populations may be indigenous to specific areas, primary flora are the same in sourdoughs everywhere. In his naturally leavened breads, Forkish aims for the middle of the lactic-acetic spectrum, producing bread with mellow aroma and flavor that complements various foods and wines. His recipes use 80% hydration for the Levain culture, though Levains can range from 60%, stiff enough to form a ball, to 100% hydration. Forkish's approach offers a spectrum of breads, from straightforward same-day recipes to complex multi-day Levain creations. This progression allows bakers to build skills while understanding how different techniques affect the final product. The Saturday white bread creates crusty white loaves in a single day, perfect for bakers wanting fresh bread for dinner. Mix in the morning, shape in the afternoon, and bake by evening. The medium-length fermentation delivers versatile bread that works well for dinner, sandwiches, and toast. Moving up in complexity, the overnight white bread features an appealing open crumb structure, perfect for simple pleasures like tomato-top slices drizzled with olive oil. While similar in timing to Jim LaHaye's no-knead method, this recipe differs significantly by using warmer water, 90 to 95F, one-third the yeast amount, incorporating an autolyze period, and including folds after mixing. The overnight 12 to 14-hour bulk fermentation develops complex flavors lacking in quicker recipes. Pre-ferment breads, like the white bread with poulash, develop an almost buttery flavor with a thin, crisp crust. The process begins the evening before baking by mixing a poulash of equal parts flour and water with minimal yeast. After fermenting 12 to 14 hours, this bubbly, gassy mixture is combined with additional flour, water, salt, and yeast. The white bread with 80% biga pushes the boundaries of pre-fermentation by incorporating a stiff biga that comprises 80% of the total flour, creating an exciting baking experiment. The biga imparts a distinctive earthiness to the bread's flavor profile. At the pinnacle of complexity are the Levain breads. The Overnight Country Blonde is a pure Louvain bread that develops a beautiful texture and subtle tang through long fermentation. Using minimal Louvain, 12% baker's percentage, the dough triples in volume during a 12 to 15 hour overnight bulk fermentation, followed by a 4-hour proof. For those seeking rustic character, the Overnight Country Brown features a satisfying chewy crust with flavors that permeate deeply into the crumb. With 70% white flour and 30% whole wheat, this 78% hydration dough ferments for 12 to 15 hours overnight before a 4-hour proof. Field blend breads borrow terminology from winemaking, combining multiple flour varieties for complex yet balanced flavor profiles. Field blend number 2 features whole rye or pumpernickel rye flour instead of white rye flour, creating a darker, earthier flavor profile while demonstrating how bakers can adjust flour ratios to create custom blends. 3.5 years after opening Ken's Artisan Bakery, Forkish expanded into pizza, turning Monday nights into a special pizza event that became wildly popular. These Pizza Mondays regularly drew lines around the block, with customers willing to wait hours for the wood-fired creations. The overwhelming success led to opening Ken's Artisan Pizza with Chef Alan Maniscalco in 2006, featuring Neapolitan-inspired thin-crust pizzas baked in a wood-fired brick oven that reaches temperatures of 800F or higher. The pizza dough recipes have 70 to 75% hydration, higher than traditional 65% recipes, specifically designed for baking on pizza stones. While wetter doughs are stickier and trickier to handle, they produce superior fermentation character and poofier rims with delicate texture. This higher hydration creates microscopic air pockets that expand during baking, resulting in a lighter, more complex crumb structure and the coveted leopard-spotted char characteristic of authentic Neapolitan pizzas. For those without pizza stones, cast iron skillet pizza offers an easier alternative without needing to transfer uncooked pizza from peel to stone. The key is completely relaxed dough with minimal tension. Cold dough shapes more easily than room temperature, ideally rested for 3 to 4 hours in the refrigerator. Because the skillet isn't preheated, baking takes 15 to 20 minutes and produces a firmer crust without the floppiness typical of stone-baked pizza. The cast iron's heat retention creates a beautifully crispy bottom crust while maintaining a tender interior. The distinction between pizza and focaccia varies widely by definition and regional interpretation. Some focus on dough thickness, others on cooking method or cheese toppings. In Italy's Liguria region, Forkish has had focaccia with tomato sauce and cheese that looked and tasted like pizza, while in Rome, pizza al taglio more closely resembles what many consider focaccia. In his approach, focaccias are baked in cast iron skillets or sheet pans, while pizzas are preferably baked directly on stones, though he includes cast iron skillet pizzas with cheese for home bakers. The versatility of focaccia allows using virtually any bread dough, making it an excellent way to experiment with different flour combinations and fermentation methods. From the book's 1,000-gram flour bread recipes, you can bake one loaf as directed and use the remaining dough for focaccia. For thin-crust focaccia in a 9-inch skillet, use about 200 grams of dough. For thick crust, use 350 grams. Sheet pan focaccia can use up to 875 grams of dough, creating a generous surface area for toppings and the characteristic dimpled texture. Focaccia Genovese, an authentic Ligurian creation, originates from Genoa, traditionally made from very soft dough spread in rectangular or round pans. The distinctive technique involves dimpling the dough with your fingers while working olive oil into it, creating wells that capture the oil and enhance flavor absorption. The dough is then baked to a golden color and finished with more oil and salt, sometimes incorporating regional variations like fresh rosemary, cherry tomatoes, or Ligurian olives. The result is a bread that's simultaneously crispy, tender, and rich with olive oil flavor. Once you've mastered the basic techniques, Forkish encourages viewing the recipes as templates that can be adjusted to your preferences. These adaptations allow you to create breads and pizzas uniquely your own, while also providing flexibility when life throws unexpected schedule changes your way. Adjusting hydration is straightforward. Simply change the water amount in your dough. For example, the overnight pizza dough with poulesche, 75% hydration, can be modified to 70% hydration by reducing total water from 750 grams to 700 grams, making a stiffer, easier-to-shape dough while maintaining the poulesche flavor benefits. Modifying flour blends while maintaining the same total flour weight, 1,000 grams, allows you to adapt recipes to your taste or use available ingredients. The overnight white bread can transform into a mixed grain loaf using 70% white flour, 700 grams, 20% whole wheat flour, 200 grams, and 10% rye flour, 100 grams, similar to the field blend recipes. When timing needs adjustment due to planned delays or unexpected circumstances, you can manipulate fermentation and proofing times by adjusting leavening amounts and dough temperature. For longer bulk fermentation, reduce yeast by about a third while maintaining temperature. If plans change after shaping, refrigerate loaves in proofing baskets in plastic bags and bake them cold the next morning. Recording recipe adjustments is essential for tracking modifications and avoiding reliance on memory. Keeping a pocket notebook in the kitchen helps document changes to ingredients and techniques, providing valuable reference during the baking process and for future attempts. Forkish emphasizes that baking is a craft that improves with repetition. Trying different flour blends, refining shaping techniques, and working to enhance flavor, volume, and crust color with each attempt. This repetition brings the satisfaction of mastering a skill and the comfort of doing something well. The journey from simple flour, water, salt, and yeast to extraordinary bread represents one of humanity's oldest and most satisfying transformations. By understanding and controlling the 8 critical elements, time, temperature, pre-ferments, autolyse, hydration, fermentation, handling, and baking, anyone can create bread that rivals the finest artisan bakeries. The process connects us to thousands of years of human history while producing something uniquely our own, a perfect alchemy of science, craft, and patience.